Well, you have no idea. I've never had a more efficient secretary in my life. Just precise, takes orders, intelligent. But I'm a married man. So the first thing is to recognize the temptation. So I tell this executive, legally, how much time do you have to give your secretary before you dismiss her? Father, what are you talking about? Look, you shouldn't have brought it up. So first is to recognize the temptation when we see it. Light for the mind. And that is not easy. Secondly, we pray to have the strength when a temptation does, shall I say, besiege us, have the strength to not just overcome the temptation or resist it, but benefit from the temptation. Question. Do we all have to practice patience? Do we?
Yes.
We define patience as a voluntary acceptance of pain. Do we have to suffer patience? Pardon me. Do we have to suffer? Do we have to have pain to become patient? Do we?
Yes.
If there's no pain in your life, you cannot become patient. Now, please don't thank your husband or wife. So grace to benefit from the, quote, temptation that God sends us or allows us to be tried by. And finally, when we pray, lead us not into temptation, we ask for the prudence not to be unnecessarily exposed to temptations for which we are not prepared. In other words, there's such a thing as being a macho in the spiritual life. Watch it. There are situations, there are people which will be too much for us. All of that is locked up in that petition. What are the spiritual characteristics of the soul? Oh, what are all the spiritual characteristics of the soul? Now, first of all, because it is the soul, its first spiritual characteristic is that it is a spirit. And your spirit, whether the angelic spirit, the demonic spirit, or the spirit of our soul, a spirit, by definition, is not quantitative. A spirit has no size, no shape, no weight, no extension in space. Again, as a spirit, the soul can think. So negatively, the primary characteristic of the soul as spirit is, it is not quantitative. It is not perceptible by the senses. It can only be perceived by the mind. That's the negative characteristic of the soul. It is not material. But the positive characteristics are two. Every soul has a mind, and every soul has a will. Every soul has a mind to think. Step number one. To judge, not just think, but to judge between thoughts or among thoughts. And thirdly, the soul has a mind to make judgments and then reach a decision. We reach decisions with our minds. When I have a list of digits, I draw a line, I count them, that sum total of those digits is the conclusion. You have a mind to reach conclusions. Some people, I know what I'm saying, very seldom make decisions in their lives. And European social scientists speak of America as one of the most undecisive cultures in the world. People don't make decisions for themselves. And the second positive quality of the soul as a spirit is to will. And the first purpose of the will is to desire. The second purpose of the will is to choose. And the third purpose of the will is to love. Desire, choose, and love. And my favorite definition of love is sustained choice. When you keep choosing, and you remain choosing. I've witnessed enough weddings, I don't have too many, being in the academic world. How deeply they are in love, as they say when they marry. Do you choose so-and-so here present as your lawful wife? I do. And she, your lawful husband? I do. 6 months later, six years later, I repeat, love is sustained choice. And the good qualities you see in people that you loved when you first met them, oh, you have to pray and ask our Lord, dear Lord, please let me see good qualities in this person, because naturally speaking, what do we see in other people? Their failings. We need grace. We need grace from God to see the good qualities in other people. Believe me, we don't need grace to see the good qualities in ourselves. They are too obvious. Do the bishops make use of the inactive priests and nuns already educated in theology and so forth? Well, to a certain extent, yes. Bishops, of course, once a priest is, say, not in active service, it all depends why he is not in active service. There are priests today who retire long before their age. Just find the pressure too great. Many retired priests would be just thrilled to work for souls. And there are priests who are inactive because they have, as we say, been laicized. No priest is ever laicized. A priest cannot become a layman. But then there's a problem there. It depends, of course, on the faith of that priest and his, well, what shall I say, his utility. Can he serve the church in the condition in which he is? Is this correct time? 3:47?
Yeah.
Is it? Okay. Now, I do not normally do this, but given the number of questions, would you mind if I continued answering questions until 4:15? Would you mind? I could go back to the lecture, but I think I just saw this pile here and I thought to myself, I better answer questions. What do we have? Or why do we have bad dreams? And can they be demonic? Well, having a graduate degree in psychology, I could lecture for hours on dreams. But in general, as you know, dreams are a reflection of what's going on in our minds. However, bad dreams, they can be demonic. But they need not be. They can be. Well, as I say, the worries, the anxieties, the problems that we are going through during our waking hours. And psychologically, we are told there is some release in having these, quote, bad dreams. What is our responsibility and how do we stop them? Oh, thanks for asking that question. There are things that God, shall I say, sends into our lives, at least allows us, which are painful. Are we expected to stop all the pain in our lives? Are we? Can painful things be graces?
Yes.
Yes. And therefore, in other words, our responsibility as far as the bad dreams go is to ask myself, what is the source of my bad dreams? And I would say, and I could recommend this heartily, if you have bad dreams, if you don't have the habit, I recommend praying, talking to our Lord. You won't believe me in your sleep. Am I making sense? I tell people, you wake up. My gosh, don't waste your time. Do something. Like what? Like pray. Is it true that many priests who left after Vatican II are asking to return? Yes. Yes. And as you know, and some are being, as we see, both reconciled with the church, provided, of course, whatever brought them out of the active priesthood has been somehow healed or removed. Yes. Of course, if a priest says, enters into marriage, then obviously he assumes responsibilities which are not that easily removed. Moreover, the Holy See is very cautious, extremely cautious in reconciling priests with the church after they had, on their own volition, left the active priesthood. Can we test the Spirit, say, by demanding in Jesus' name for him to identify himself or depart? Is it true he, Satan, cannot leave a sweet smell without a stench following? Is it true that Satan cannot leave a sweet smell without a stench following? Is it true that he cannot? No, it is not true. He can leave a sweet smell and there will be no stench following. Am I clear? The devil is too smart. Gee, thanks for your big writing. Even I can read it. How does God and angels dwell in us? Verses say that the way New Age claims we we'll find Jesus within us by finding our inner self. This is such tricky terminology. Well, it's more than tricky. It is demonic. For over 30 years, I've taught the non-Christian religions, published 3 books in the subject. And have been in contact with people from the Oriental world over the years. The New Age movement is an importing of Oriental, quote, mysticism into the Western world. Oriental mysticism, I'm speaking of Oriental non-Christian mysticism, as they call it, is absolutely false. It is mainly in Hinduism, which is the most learned of the non-Christian Oriental religions. It goes back to over 2000 BC. In the non-Christian religions, from which the New Age, as we call it now, has borrowed, the self, called the Atman, is the same identical being as Brahman, who is God. By now, so many in the United States, including those studying religions, for example, in Catholic schools, you know, read now articles and books about centering prayer, right? Centering prayer is absolutely and unqualifyingly non-Christian. All kinds of Christian trappings, all kinds of Christian vocabulary, but the inner core of centering prayer is that the center of our being is, oh, call it the self, but that self is identical with what we call God. And if a man, as I've told some of you more than once, like Thomas Merton, could be seduced by Oriental mysticism, believe you me, lesser individuals can be seduced too. I don't hesitate saying, having known Thomas Merton personally, as I've explained at least on some one occasion to some of you, having worked with Thomas Merton to help him, once he became seduced by Oriental thought, I credit Thomas Merton for the New Age movement in the Western world. So it's not just tricky terminology, it is absolutely false. Could you give us an example of a temptation by God? Could I read newspapers or listen? Should we not read newspapers or listen to radio? Or should we just not believe what we read or hear? Do you think most of the rational locutions, unquote, are diabolical? Well, there are 3 questions. Could you give me an example of a temptation by God? Well, I try never to use the preposition by, where it's a temptation for God. Temptations, we may say, come by God's permission. In other words, temptations, we may even say, come from God. Because we all must be tried. That's what our life on earth is. Did you know that? You're on probation. Do you know that? We're all taking not just our final exam, we're taking the only exam we'll ever have to take in life. And the secret is to pass that exam. I've given so many tests to so many students, I've never dared said, now, my dear fellow brothers, my Jesuits, I'm now giving you a temptation. So, can you give us an example of a temptation by God? Every temptation is somehow permitted, at least permitted by God. Does God want us to be tried? Yes. Are you sure you're saying it? Do you know what you're saying? Does God want us to be tried? Sure. Now, the English word temptation has all kinds of bad connotations. Secondly, should we not read newspapers or listen to the radio? Well, thanks for asking this question. Look, you can hardly, gosh, you can't walk down the street. In New York, when I taught there for 14 years, driving in the subway, businessmen, executives, dead silence, crowded subway. Most of the people buried reading the morning New York Times. So, it's not a question of not reading the newspapers or not listening to the radio, but in the name of God, to read and listen carefully, prudently. Don't read everything readable. Does that make sense? My pastor back home in Senior Shuffle in the 8th grade in grammar school, he told us, now boys and girls, there are some people who think you cannot tell a lie in print. I never forgot that. Isn't that good to hear? Be judicious. Be prudent. Otherwise, inevitably you're going to be seduced. And do you think most of the rash locutions are diabolical? I know that some are diabolical. How well I know. To be told, as one coast mystic was told, to stop attending Mass. No longer go to Mass because of the abuses of the liturgy. Question. Is it true that only adults were baptized in the early church? If so, why? No. Infants were baptized in the early church. How do we know? From a first century document. So, not only adults, but infants were baptized. If we confess something we feel is a sin to a priest, and he tells us, in his opinion, it is not a sin, do we go by our conscience or by the priest's? Well, I cannot give you a more salutary piece of advice. Choose your confessors. Am I clear? Choose your confessors. What is the official, called absolution, a priest must use after confession. I think I've given it to you. I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This is historic house, historic guest. This is interesting, but probably more than you'll want to take time to read in class. Perhaps you could read it later and comment on a later date. I will do so. What is the formula for confession? Oh, well, this is not the same as absolution. There's no formula. To go to confession and receive valid absolution, you must confess something which is sinful. There can be no absolution unless a sin is confessed. Now, if a person has not been to confession for some time, I mean, say like a year or so, the odds are that person had committed a mortal sin. And the church teaches us you're not to receive communion in the state of mortal sin. But suppose we do not have any conscious mortal sins on our souls. What must we confess in order to get absolution? Watch this. At least some sin from our past life. At least. In other words, even if I have, now this, by the way, would be strange. People sometimes tell me, I encourage people to go to confession frequently. But Father, I don't know what to confess. And I've heard this, I have no sins. I swallow. If as a husband I tell him, ask your wife. Ooh, how lynx-eyed we can be about other people's failings. So, at least, and if there are sins I've committed since my last confession, my conscience tells me I am not certain of any mortal sins, then I need not confess, hear this, I need not confess all the sins I've committed. Need not. Pardon me, I cannot. Believe me, we are sinners. So at least, my recommendation is confess the 2, 3, maybe 4 sinful failings that I can recall since my last confession. To whom were the angels sent before the creation of man? Or was this mission assigned after the creation of man? A good question. Yes, they were sent once the human race was created. However, this may surprise you, the angels care not only for the human race, they're also in charge, pardon me, of the whole visible world. Now, this is not in any book in theology. I'm just sharing this with you to answer the question. Can we see that angels, for example, protect, say, animals? Yes. In any case, their mission, properly so-called, began with the dawn of the human race. We are the church's tabernacles put aside in the churches. Well, the simplest answer is because, sadly, so many people are no longer either sure or even still believe in the real presence of Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. I never thought I'd be called for a meeting with the Holy Father's private secretary twice, in 86 and 87. On both occasions, Holy Father, through his secretary, communicated directives to me. And the directives are very simple. Do everything in your power to restore and preserve faith in the real presence in the United States. Because Holy Father's secretary told me the Holy Father is concerned for the future of the Catholic Church in America. Unless Catholics either strengthen or, when need be, even restore their faith in the real presence. That's the reason. And as I'm sure you realize, this is a widespread, shall I call it, epidemic. In this course on the lay apostolate, will you give us some practical pointers on how to evangelize others? I sure will. I promise. For example, cultivate the art of what we call spiritual conversation. Plan your conversation. I hope you agree with me. Most people can talk without thinking. Consequently, to train your mind to think, do some writing, and you will be only as effective a lay apostle as you have. Oh, Father, please, don't say that. As, no matter how cramped your fingers may be, and no matter how cramped your fingers may be, are the ways of, well, you've got now. What do we have? The computer. Right. So that your mind will have God on it. We talk about what we think. Am I clear? Have God on your mind. Is God still creating angels? As far as we know, no. No more angels. Do aborted babies have guardian angels? It is a common teaching in the Catholic Church. Well, they had angels the moment they were conceived. In other words, a child receives a guardian spirit at the moment of conception. What is the rationale for calling Mary mediatrix of all graces? Well, the rationale is because she is. And now there's a whole course on this subject. Mary is mediatrix of all graces because she is the mother of Christ. And all the grace of the whole human race either has received or will receive comes from Christ. But except for her, we wouldn't have him. Talk about being mediatrix. Secondly, Mary did not cease to be the mother of God. I trust you mothers agree. The word mother is first a noun. And in a noun that stops when the child is born. Does a mother remain a mother after the baby is born? She better. In other words, the verb mothering. So, Mary continues mothering the children that her divine Son has redeemed. And in this mothering, she obtains from him for us things that only a mother can receive from her Son. is Reverend Malachy Martin, an accepted spokesman for the church. He has several current books on the market. He prefaced Father Trenchard's book on Fatima. Well, the question is Malachy Martin an accepted spokesman for the church? I would say yes, with reservations. I know Malachy Martin, and Malachy Martin knows me. We've talked. We write to each other. As you know, we had been a Jesuit. You know that, don't you?
Yes.
And basically, I would say Malachy Martin is Orthodox. We almost say militantly Orthodox. However, Malachy Martin is also pessimistic, as I've told him. And this is where Father Trenchard would be in the same class. Take one more. In Catechism on the Angels, there are two questions numbered 12 and two numbered 13. Well,
there was no
11. We will go over that. And what I'm doing, by the way, what I'm doing for this course is writing, well, two catechisms. So if it's true there are two 12s and two 13s, that will be duly corrected. It is. Let's take one more and then we'll quit. Hans Kuhn, you'll be at a conference on death at the University of Michigan next month. It is free. Are his radical teachings centered around death? Well, Hans Kuhn, by the way, is an amateur heretic. Again, we know each other. A television station in New York tried to get us together three times. He turned down the station each time. Poor Hans. So, I would say Hans Kuhn does not really have an organized heresy. There are some, and we may have occasion to quote some of these, more professional heretics. In other words, he's not consistent. So if he's lecturing on death, he might ask, should you go? Well, provided you would not scandalize people, I would like to know what Hans Kuhn says. But if you have a chance to meet him, give my regards and tell him I'm praying for him and I'm still waiting for the dialogue, as the television station called it, the dialogue with him. Any times, by the way, while he's in the United States, wouldn't that be delightful if we could have Hans Kuhn here for a class next Sunday? It'd be just a thrill. In any case, pray for Hans Kuhn. Now, it's 4:17. We should prepare for a Mass. Our next class, therefore, will be, am I correct, next Sunday. And the plan then is that I will celebrate the Mass at 12 o'clock at the church. And then, depending on the numbers that come, I'll talk to Father Perrone in the meantime. We may have it either here or in a larger quarters, but it will be at the grotto. Shall we pray? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us,
in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks again, and bring your...